Say the three letters LBJ to people of a certain generation and watch out. Lyndon Baines Johnson inherited the war in Vietnam and then escalated it, increasing the number of American troops to over 500,000, 549,000 troops in 1969. 16,000 of them would be killed in that 1 year alone. Every day, a steady flow of caskets returning. So a lot of people did not like LBJ and forgot or didn't know what he did before Vietnam. Recently, there's been a closer look. There was the play and HBO film All the Way with Bryan Cranston, which followed LBJ as he worked to pass JFK's Civil Rights Bill in 1964. And now the new film, LBJ, looks at Johnson before that, as he goes from the arm-twisting, powerful Senate Majority Leader to a vice president sidelined by the Kennedy brothers, Robert in particular, to president, transforming from a member of the Southern Caucus who fought integration to the man who'd reject the racism of his mentor, Richard Russell, who headed that caucus. In this scene, Russell, played by Richard Jenkins, tries to convince Woody Harrelson's LBJ to drop the push for civil rights, even as LBJ points out his black maid is serving them.
So you're telling me she's your equal?
That woman spends more time in this house than anyone except Lady Bird. She is family.
I don't know how I miss the resemblance. Look, what I'm talking about here is freedom. I'm talking about the preservation of a certain way of life, a way of life that you and I both grew up with. There's nothing wrong with that.
Then why are we whispering?
A scene from the new film LBJ, directed by Rob Reiner of Princess Bride, When Harry Met Sally, A Few Good Men, and Stand By Me fame. Oh, he was also Meathead and All in the Family. And Rob Reiner joins us in the studio. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So as I was watching the film, which is terrific, I was thinking of the liberal Meathead that you played in All in the Family and guessing that you as a young man might have been one of those who did not like LBJ because of the war.
Not only did I not like him, I hated him. Yeah. I was of draft age during that period, and I was against the war for moral and legal reasons. I felt it was wrong, and I hated him because he could send me to my death. I could get drafted. And so I had a certain view of Lyndon Johnson when I was young. And as I've matured, and I've now spent a lot of time in politics, in government. I had a government job in California for 7 years. I started to understand and appreciate what he was able to accomplish right. domestically and how difficult it is to get a legislative accomplishments through.
And then you dug deeper. Give us the political context you unearthed. LBJ from conservative Texas. What a great reminder, by the way, this film is of our recent past. Blacks couldn't even go to water fountains. I mean, it's just kind of—
Well, we also have— You know, there have been a lot of great movies made about the civil rights movement and about race relations, but it's all of a sudden bubbled back to the surface because of the person we have sitting in the Oval Office now. This issue, which we thought we were on a glide path towards, you know, racial harmony, is now unearthed again because of the man who's giving racism a voice.
Well, you and your father, Carl Reiner, have been very vocal about this, but there definitely has bubbled up a Black Lives Matter movement. And so it's so interesting to see that in our lifetimes, some of us, LBJ's cook, who was a member of the family, as
right.
he said,
could
not drive his dog across a few states because she couldn't stay anywhere. She couldn't go to the bathroom.
Right.
And you show a scene where he's talking to these Southern conservatives who are adamant about keeping this segregation. And he says, how come she can't just, in his way, squat by the side of the road?
Right, right. And here's the thing about LBJ that people are not aware of. He came from a very, very poor area in West Texas, the Hill Country. So this was in his DNA. He never viewed himself as a Southerner. He thought of himself as a Texan and a Westerner. He was more than happy to assume the Southern mantle as a way of brokering deals between the racist South and the liberal North. And he passed a civil rights bill long before this. It was a watered-down version, but he did get it passed. Then when Kennedy passed away, he looked at it, this is an opportunity to actually do what he had wanted to do for a long, long time, which is to create the Great Society, attack poverty, the war on poverty, and he was able to do it. He understood that you can't pass legislation until it's ready. And he fought like crazy against Kennedy to not put this bill on the floor because he knew it would die.
It wasn't ready.
But at a certain point, he understood that you could get it passed. And to think that, you know, well, it was all done for political expediency is a crazy idea, because he knew that if he tried to get the civil rights bill passed, he would lose the South.
Yeah.
He was going to spend all that political capital. No politician is willing to put their entire presidency on the line unless they actually believe in it.
Well, before that, before passing the legislation, you show in some ways the failings of the Kennedys, that they didn't understand his art of negotiation. They were going to, you know, especially Robert Kennedy, going to force this through. Johnson said, we need to compromise. Which, by the way, it's really interesting to see somebody be so adamant about compromising.
Well, he knew how government works. In order to get things done, and this is why I've learned to appreciate him much more than I used to, is that there's a confluence between politics, policy, and government. And if you don't understand how those three things intersect and deeply understand how the mechanics of all that work, you'll never move an agenda forward. And you must understand that. And he, in his bones, understood that. That was his long suit.
Talk about the portrayal in your film. Woody Harrelson, he wears prosthetics, the ears,
right,
the jowl, the hair. Harrelson said, you know, this is hard. I'm playing someone you can, many people remember in
right.
real life, you can find on YouTube. And Bryan Cranston won a Tony for portraying him.
Right,
so
right.
Your sense of what he gets about LBJ.
Well, the thing that's great about Woody is he embodied what I tried to get out of this guy. He's a very complex person. He's almost Shakespearean, Johnson, you know, mixed with this incredible bravado, arm-twisting bull in the china shop. He has a sensitive side. He's very insecure about his abilities, his looks, whether or not people are going to love him like they love the Kennedys. And Woody brings a humanity and a sense of humor and all of that, plus the bull in the china shop, and he makes it a full rounded character.
We also read that he brought notes every day, quotes that he'd find, and some of them are in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if I can find one here that I can say, because this was a man who was often vulgar.
Yes,
you know,
he was.
LBJ.
Yes,
so let's
he was.
See. He was talking about Edgar Hoover at one point, and he said, "Better to have him inside the tent pissing out than outside pissing in."
Right.
In a very sad, poignant moment, he says, "You know, again, he can't. Just can't live up to what people think the Kennedys are like." And he says, "If one morning I walked on top of the water across the Potomac River, the headline that afternoon would read, 'President Can't Swim.'"
Yeah.
These are things he said.
Yes. Yes. And there's plenty of documentation there. I mean, conversations
sure.
from the Oval Office. One of the great things is that, you know, he wasn't the first person to tape, his conversations in the Oval Office. But he did say to Nixon on his way in that, you know, you're going to want to have these tapes for posterity, you know, so people there's a record of what happened in the Oval Office. And luckily, Nixon took him up on that.
You know, this was a president that showed his scars mm-hmm. to people, picked his beagle up by the ears.
Yep.
We see him, you know, in the bathroom, the vulgarity. But also there is that terrible vulnerability
yes.
that I just want to point out how strong a partner Lady Bird was.
Yes, she was. And two things about that. One is we showed the film at the LBJ Library a while ago, and Lucy Baines was there.
The daughter.
And I was so nervous about her seeing it because I thought, oh, my God, you know, there's her father up there and her father's relationship to her mother. And so right after the screening, we went up on stage to do a Q&A. And before you ask us any questions, I just have to know, what does Lucy – she was sitting in the front row. And I said, what do you think of this? I have to know. And she stood up. She's very formal. She stood up and she said, "The man I saw on the screen tonight was the man I knew." And that – to me, was all the validation I needed. We had captured her father. And about this vulnerability, this is something I picked up from Doris Kearns Goodwin's biography of Johnson. She worked with him on the biography down at the ranch in Texas. And there were two things that struck me. One was that Johnson had this recurring dream of being paralyzed. He also had this fear that his mother would not love him. She would withhold her love at times. It was a conditional love. He had to be doing what she wanted him to do. He was frightened of not being loved, and it paralyzed him at times. And so you see this indecision that he has. But once he is able to make that decision, brought forward by the fact that he had this great support system with Lady Bird, he moved forward. And once he did that, there was no stopping him. Then he was that bull in the China shop.
Not just the Civil Rights Act, but Head Start, the Voting Rights Act.
Medicaid, Medicare.
And Woody says, you mentioned he's a Shakespearean character. It would be a tragic one? Because if he hadn't gotten bogged down in Vietnam.
Yeah, no, there's no question. It's tragedy because had it not been for Vietnam, he would have gone down as one of the greatest presidents of all time. Nobody had a greater domestic legislative achievement than him, except for FDR.
Yeah.
But you can't take a Vietnam away. It's there. And so that's what makes it tragic.
That's Rob Reiner. His new film, LBJ, opens in theaters this Friday. Rob, thank you.
Thanks for having me.